Good morning. Welcome. Good to see everybody here. As always, I appreciate your presence. We do have several visitors. We're very thankful for your presence as well. I encourage all of you to take out Bibles, follow along, make certain that what is said is in accordance to God's Word. This morning, though, we're not just examining God's Word, we're going to be examining ourselves. At least that is my hope. On Wednesday night, Rod was teaching on Hebrews. It was an excellent class. But he had a story to relate, a personal story that resonated with me, and I wanted to expand on it in this class. He talked about when he was in college, he had a job, and that job started to require him to be busy on the weekends, including on Sundays. And so he was no longer able to worship as frequently as he would like. And what he did was he told himself that it was okay, that he was still all right with God. And then Rod related that eventually he stopped and he thought about it and he realized that he was being spiritually hurt and he wasn't growing closer to God as a result of this. It was hurting him. And so he had to change. And I believe that change has been beneficial. I believe that there have been many people who have benefited from that decision in his moment, in the moment of his life. I believe he was benefited from it. And what I want to talk about then this morning is, how is your relationship with God? See, Rod did something really hard there. He examined himself honestly to see whether he was getting closer to God or getting farther. And I just want you to take a moment this morning and think about where you're at in your relationship with God. Now understand, none of us have a perfect relationship with God. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you going the right direction? Are you getting closer to Him? Or are you getting farther from Him? We had read for us this morning Psalm 119 in verses 9 through 16. And I hope you notice through those verses that there's a description of a really close relationship with God. His delight in God's Word. Him wanting to study more about God's Word. And we'll talk about that some in a little bit. In our songbooks, song number 110 is one of the hardest songs for me to sing so frequently because I really have to stop and think, is it true? Because this song talks about a love for Jesus, but in the chorus, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Can you say that? Can you say that right now you love God more than you ever have before? That right now you are growing and increasing in your relationship with Him rather than decreasing. You see, this is a great challenge because we are very good at deceiving ourselves. I'm going to give you a lesson. I bet you didn't plan on this lesson. I'm going to teach you something about fantasy football. You don't even need to know what fantasy football is, but I'll tell you this one lesson. Right now, don't listen to the players and don't listen to the coaches. This is the season of delusion. That is what I have learned. Because there's all sorts of news that is going on, and there are players saying, we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure they'll win a game. There are players who are saying, as they get in the twilight years of their career, I've never been healthier than I am right now, and I'm telling you, they're delusional. They are not better than they have been before. They're just trying to tell themselves they are. There are people that are saying, this person is going to have the best season ever. And they are, again, delusional. And right now is the time when people just have this really big amount of optimism and it has run amok. And they have no basis of reality. Is that us? I love God more than I've ever loved Him before. But do we really? I'm closer than I've ever been. I'm headed the right direction. I have a good relationship with God. But do we really? You see, the danger here is that we can be self-deceivers. We can be optimistic to a fault and ignore the truth. This is not a question of how you feel. I'm not asking you, do you feel closer to God than ever before? I will say, though, that if you have a cold heart in relation to God, that's probably an indication you're not headed the right direction. But in Numbers 16 and verse 3, it's the people of Korah, and they're rebelling against Moses and saying, Moses, you set yourself too high. We are just as good as you in our relationship with God. We have the right to enter into the tabernacle and serve God the way that you do. And of course, as the chapter proceeds, God illustrates that, no, you don't have the relationship you think you do. You don't have the right you think you do. You are against God, and the earth swallows them up. In John chapter 8, verse 41 through 44, Jesus deals with the Israelites who are convinced that they are the people of God. But Jesus says, you are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Now, if you ask them, that's going to be their answer. And I'm quite convinced that is an answer that they wholeheartedly believed. They felt was true. But Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of the father, your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so here they would have said, with all the passion they could muster, I am right with God. And Jesus says, you are following the devil. See, that's the danger. That's the challenge. It's so easy for us to just answer this question. Yeah, I'm good with God. So easy to deceive ourselves. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, we're challenged to be hearers of the word and not merely doers. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Self-delusion. He goes on again in verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, that man's religion is worthless. He thinks one thing, he feels one thing, but it's not the truth. It's not the reality. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is death. They think they're on the right path. And Matthew 15, and verse 8, Jesus again talking to these Jews who again really think they're the ones who are right with God. But he quotes from Isaiah and he says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. So I'm really trying to get down to the core of the matter and not just that really easy surface answer of, yeah, I'm good. How can we honestly examine ourselves and our relationship with God? Well, I want to suggest seven things you can look for. This is not the only things, but I believe this will help give us an honest assessment to look for the symptoms of a good relationship. And you might notice that these things could relate to other aspects of life. How's my marriage doing? You could look at similar things. It's about relationships. And the first one is, where are your thoughts, your meditations, your study? In other words, how often do you think about God during the day? If the answer is, I don't think about God very much, I suggest you don't have a very good relationship with Him. Imagine that you... No, don't imagine. I'll tell you. I had a girlfriend. She broke up with me. Crazy, crazy thing. She broke up with me because I went to college and never called her for a whole semester. I don't know what her problem was. I didn't think about her very much. She was right to break up with me. There was something wrong with my relationship. If that's the way we are with God, where we're not thinking about Him, He's not on our mind frequently, we don't love to think about Him, there's something wrong. In Psalm 119, we're not going to look at all these verses. I want to catch a few of them. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Thinking about God's ways and His word. Skip over to verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. Meditating on the great things that God does and the great things that God is. Go over to verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And then down to verse 148. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. So here's a person who's describing how I just look forward to the times that I can think about God and about His word. That's a good sign. That's an indication that you have this close relationship with God. And 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 talks about how we need to accurately handle the word of truth in order to be approved with God. If you want to have that close relationship with Him, we need to use His word and we need to use it correctly. So there is this study, and in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, it tells us that we must pay much closer attention to what we've received, lest we drift away from it. It's not a fast thing, it's a slow drifting away. If you're spending time in your week with... if you struggle to find time in your week to study God's Word, that's a good indication something's not right. You're not headed the right direction, you're headed the wrong direction. The second one is evangelism and confession, and what I'm really talking about here is just conversations. Do you find yourself talking about God to the people around you, either your family at home, your coworkers, maybe even complete strangers? If you're talking about God, that's a really good indication that He matters to you. And if you're not, that's a really good indication He doesn't. Matthew 10, 32 through 33 says this directly connects to our relationship with God. If we confess His name before men, He will confess us before His Father who is in heaven. If we deny Him, He will deny us. There's a direct relationship between how much we're talking about God and the relationship we have with God. The third thing to look for is how much you pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says to pray without ceasing, but Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and see, this is what happens when we pray, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see that prayer and the relationship with God are closely connected? The more we pray, the closer we are to Him, the greater we have been guarded by Him, the peace we have with Him. This goes back to that girlfriend. You don't call, eventually she leaves you. You don't talk to God, what's He going to do eventually? Eventually, He gives up on us because we're not communicating with Him the way He wants us to, the way we ought to. Now, nobody will ever be able to say, I pray as much as I ever possibly could. This would be a test you could not pass. The question is, are you improving? Do you pray more now than you did last year? Or the year before that? Are you improving or is it getting worse? Fourth thing I'll suggest is our speech. If we thought about, I looked at James chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man thinks himself to be religious but does not bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless, right? So if you want to know whether you have a good relationship with God, one of the things you ought to do is look at what you're talking about. And not just about whether you're talking about God, but what kind of language do you use? Is it filthy language? Vile? Ungrateful? Is it wholesome language? Ephesians 4 and verse 28 talks about language that is wholesome, that where the things I say help the people around me rather than hurt them. I bring them closer to God rather than further from God. And that's a good indication of your relationship with God. Again, you're not going to be perfect. None of us are. But are you improving? Fifth, contentment. Are you satisfied with life, with what you have? Or are you unthankful and uncontent, always looking for more? So in Colossians 3 and verse 5, it warns us about greed. He says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. See, the thing about greed, about always wanting more, is it's a revelation that you're not putting God first, but that you have another God. Your God is materialism. Your God may be pleasure. It may be wealth and money, but it isn't God. We can see our relationship with God based on whether we are content in this life or whether we are greedy. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6, he says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Now look what he does from here. Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what will man do to me? He starts off and he says that we need to be free from the love of money, we need to be content, and then he explains and he says, because you've got me. And if we're greedy and if we constantly want more, it's an indication that that's not enough, or we don't have God and our relationship isn't what it ought to be. Sixth, consider your relationships. If you want to know if you have a good relationship with God, consider your relationship with your spouse and consider your relationship with those around you. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, it warns about husbands, that husbands need to live with their wives in an understanding way. And he goes through, and at the end of that verse, he says that otherwise it'll hinder our prayers. It breaks our relationship with God. If husbands, if you're mistreating your wife, you can say all day long about how much you love God. You're fooling yourself. Your relationship with God is directly connected to your relationship with your wife. And if you're not treating your wife the right way, then you're not treating God the right way. Are you closer to your wife than you were before? It's part of an answer as to whether you're closer to God than you were before. But it's not just family. It's the people around you. Because 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Do you see how it is? You look at somebody else who's in need and you have the ability to help them and you come up with reasons not to. That's closing your heart. It says that's hurting not your relationship with that person. That's an illustration, a symptom of there's something wrong with you and God. Because his love isn't in you. He goes on then in verse chapter 4 and verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. One of the greatest symptoms of our relationship with God is the relationship we have with the people around us. Is our life filled with strife? Are we causing problems all over? Or are we peacemakers? Are we a people that are helping the ones around us? That gives you a good indication of your relationship with God and the direction you're going. And I'll put this last one, the one that most directly relates to what Rod was talking about, when Rod realized that his work was keeping him from assembling together. And the question is, are you assembling more or less than you used to? We can drift away from this. Hebrews 10 verse 25 illustrates the significance of the assembling together. And really you should start off a little earlier, like in verse 24, where it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Push each other and help each other become better. He then says in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We don't just gather together for no reason. We gather together because God wants us to, but we also gather together to help each other. This strengthens us. It is a feast. It is a meal for us spiritually to help us to grow and become closer to God. Now, how many meals do you skip? I actually know some people who skip meals. What I don't know is anybody who thinks that's a good idea exactly. Most people realize that that's not the healthy thing to do. So I want you to consider whether you are assembling more or less as a symptom of your relationship with God. Please do not misunderstand me. Christianity is its entirety, its totality is not the assembly. If you're assembling together on a regular basis, that does not make you a good Christian. Please don't misunderstand me. But it is a symptom. it is something for us to examine and to look at and to see really easily, am I getting closer to God or further from God? And it's awfully easy for us to say, well, I'm getting closer to God even though I'm not assembling together, but eventually I think you need to come to your senses and realize this is hurting me. Now, I say this because we have several people here who come on a very irregular manner, who come only occasionally. And then we have some people who come only once during the week. For example, we'll talk about all the time, we talk about our crowded problem. We have a crowding problem this morning. I mean, our entire back row, it's entirely full. And we've got everybody's finally, we're just having to like each other and sit close to each other. And, you know, that's not such a horrible thing. But, you know, we don't have the parking problem this afternoon. We don't have a seating problem this afternoon. We don't have it Wednesday night. Now, everybody has their reasons. I just want you to re-examine whether it's a good one. I just want you to re-examine whether it's bringing you closer to God or whether it's an indication you're getting further from Him. Like I said, there's more than these seven things. But when Rod talked about this, it made me think, am I getting closer to God or further from Him? Maybe you find that you're good. You know what? You can pass this test. That's okay. That's a good thing. It is entirely possible to be improving in your relationship with God. In fact, it's my desire, it's my hope that that's the case. In which case, that's wonderful. If you're getting better, if you're actually improving with God, that's fantastic. Keep it up. And watch out. Because there will be things in this life that are going to try to get you off that course. But what if when we take an honest assessment of ourselves, we realize I'm not closer to God than I used to be. In my youth, I was so zealous and I was so energetic in serving God, and now it's just something I do on occasion. What if that happens? Well, we need to get back on track. And Rod gave us the illustration. Rod realized it. He changed. We got to do the same thing. First thing you need to do is you need to examine your priorities. Let me put this a different way. You need to figure out how important God ought to be to you. And Mark chapter 12, I don't know how you're going to read verses 29 through 20. I guess I'm asking you to read it backwards. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 30. It talks about this greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with everything. How important should God be to you? Before we can make any progress, you got to kind of figure that one out. You got to realize that there is nothing you have in your life, no relationship, no blessings, no savings account, no job, no amount of health, nothing in your life is more important than God. If you don't have that, you're not going to keep getting closer to Him. You're going to keep getting closer to whatever it is that's more important to you. Whether it be sports or entertainment or work or family or whatever else it is, that's the direction you're going to go until you get to this idea that says, I got to love God with my everything. All of my heart, all of my time, all of my strength, all of my mind, all of my passion, everything I have needs to go to God. And once you have that in your mind, you get to this next step, and that is remove what's in the way. If there's something keeping you from a closer relationship with God, get rid of it. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We have this long race before us, and sometimes we try to run that race while holding these great weights. And maybe they're sinful things, as he talks about the sin which entangles us, or maybe they're just things of the world that hold us down, that distract our heart and our mind and our time. And they're keeping us from the most important thing ever, a relationship with God and the salvation that comes as a result of it. So if there's something holding you back, maybe it's your job. You know what? Your job's not that important. I'm not saying jobs aren't important. They're very important, but it's not that important. If that's what's keeping you from God, get rid of it. You know how Jesus put this? If your eye is causing you to stumble, you pluck it out. If it's your foot, you cut it off. If it's your hand, you cut it off. There is nothing you have, not even parts of your body, that are more important than your relationship with God. So cut it off. Get rid of it. If you can. Sometimes that's not a possibility. I am not suggesting that if you are married and your spouse is a problem, that you can just get rid of her. I'm not suggesting that. You have to do other things. So I'll suggest one more thing, and that is dedicate time to growth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, in this passage that talks about growth, that these attributes we're supposed to have and be increasing in, and that if we do, we have this these wonderful promises that we're not going to stumble. An entrance into the eternal kingdom is abundantly supplied to us. He begins by saying you have to diligently add to your faith. There's this diligence that we need to have. There's this effort we need to put forth. You're not going to get closer to God by sitting back and waiting. You get closer to God by getting to work on the relationship. God has done an incredible amount for you. He has offered up His Son. Jesus left heaven, came to earth. He died on the cross for you. He has given you the Word, His message to you. He blesses you on a daily basis in ways you don't even know. He's done everything. Now there's stuff you've got to do. And you've got to put in the work and the effort to read and to study and to pray and to get control of your life. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 talks about the apostles coming to the temple in the ninth hour, which was the hour of prayer, meaning it was a time set aside to pray. You want to grow closer to God? Set aside time in your day, each day, to do just that. To focus on Him. I recommend starting your day off that way. I recommend early so that your day, your whole day, can be focused on Him. But the psalmist in Psalm 119 also suggested the end of your day. So that your end of your day, you're always thinking about whether you lived the way you ought to have. And you're dwelling on the greatness of God. And then you're starting your dreams off the right way. And maybe the next day after that. But if you find you're not where you ought to be, don't make excuses. Fix it and improve. Are you getting closer to God, or are you slowly drifting away? And if you're curious, like pretty much every sermon, I'm not sitting here saying, okay, I know who in this audience needs this. Well, I do. I know exactly who needs it. He's standing before you. I have to stop and think. Don't think that preachers have this great thing where, because all of their everything about them is focused on God, they're always getting closer to God. You know how easy it is for preachers to draw away from God? To focus on sermons and focus on lessons rather than focus on our relationship with God. It's really easy. It can happen to any of us. If you're closer to God now than ever, that's fantastic. Encourage the people around you and watch out. If you're not, you need to fix it right now. But what if you haven't even been baptized into Christ? Then you haven't even started. And you don't have that relationship with God. What you have is a broken relationship. What you have is a need to be reconciled. There's only one way to fix the relationship between man and God, and that's through the blood of Jesus, and you don't have it if you haven't yet become a Christian. When the people in the Bible realized this, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they said, "What must we do?" And the reply was, "You need to repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins." You can do that this morning. You can be baptized into Jesus, and you can have that broken relationship fixed by the incredible sacrifice, the great love of God, Jesus dying on the cross. If we can help you this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing? I must need...